IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Okay, we all know about the Jerusalem challenge. It went completely viral. It was absolutely amazing. My family, of course, would not allow me to enter any dance challenge. They, in fact, threatened to remove me from the household if I did, and if they saw anything on social media that remotely resembled me dancing to Jerusalem. I do understand it, and in the cold light of day, I do appreciate that. But it's not so simple, because there were legal issues around it. Joining us in order to discuss that and explain what on earth that's about is Stephen Hollis. He's a partner and trademark attorney at Adams & Adams. Stephen, very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Very well, thanks. Hello to your viewers as well.
So it's when I first heard that there was a problem around this, I rolled my eyes because I thought, no, come on, this belongs to us all. We've all gotten behind this. It was just a little bit of good fun. But then, of course, when you think about it more, it does really belong to the creator. Take us through some of the concerns in the background around this issue.
Well, Howard, I think, you know, as a starting point, it's important to sort of consider where would legal claims originate from? And, you know, when you're dealing with a musical work that has been recorded, there's multiple rights holders that if you make commercial use of the music, they've got a claim for a license fee or a royalty. So, in general terms, when you've got a song like Jerusalem, you'd have songwriters. So the copyright in the music would be owned, for instance, by Master KG, and also Nomcebo, I think, also wrote some of the, you know, contributed to the composition. And then you've got the recording companies, the record labels who invested in the production of high-quality recordings. So the recorded versions, the recorded music that people were uploading as part of their videos were owned, and the copyright therein were owned by the recording companies. So the artists and the companies that invest in them own rights to the final product. And what copyright essentially does is it says that these parties have the exclusive rights to commercialize the works, so to reproduce it, to distribute it, to synchronize the works, the music, with moving images. So that's what in the industry is referred to as a sync license. So whenever you take music and you want to synchronize it with moving images, you want to use it in a film or a video, you need a license from the rights owners to do so. And so there's a clear legal basis for the rights holders to say, whenever you make commercial use or any use of our product, our recorded music, you need a license. And of course, a sort of open license was granted to individuals, to people to have fun, especially, you know, during the pandemic, one of the darkest hours, in living memory. And to send that message of togetherness by dancing together. And what I find especially fascinating about the song as well is that I read in Rolling Stone magazine the other day that it's a global hit that has not required any translation. So very few people around the world
understand that.
These Zulu lyrics, and yet it spoke to it spoke to everybody.
Yeah,
that is. Sorry, Howard?
Yeah, no, I hadn't actually thought of that aspect. That, you know, we accept it as South African, it's part of our music style, but in fact, it is interesting that it didn't require translation. Nobody needed to know anything more than just the rhythm of it.
It spoke to the heart, and it was really a message from of togetherness from Africa. Let's not forget the Angolan dance troupe that originated the moves that people tried to emulate. So while the Angolan dancers and Master KG and Nomcebo and the recording companies were very happy and supportive of individuals around the world taking on this viral dance challenge, The moment a movement like that goes global and reaches that level of success, and that many eyeballs and people interested in it, what invariably happens, it creates commercial opportunities for companies and organizations to align their brands with a movement. And that's fine. That's absolutely great. And that's also encouraged. However, if you are a company or an organization, and you want to align your brand with the movement, you need to really approach the rights holders and inform them of the way that you wish to do so and get a license from them. And it's not in the rights holders or the artist's interest to just show them away. Of course not. It's to say, look, let's have a friendly discussion. What exactly do you want to do? So if you look at some of the videos that were uploaded, that were, you know, online, there's a difference between healthcare workers dancing to the tune or a police department dancing to the tune, where you just see the people who are clearly healthcare workers or policemen. There's a difference between that and then healthcare workers and dancing in front of a certain hospital with the hospital brand being shown. That immediately tells you something, that there's another message. And then there's another situation where there's a even bigger difference, where you've got an airline showing its corporate brand and identity, and basically advertising its services and its trying to use an opportunity to create more awareness of their brand. And that can be commercially extremely valuable for those companies to do. And that's why, when you look at, unrelated competitions and tournaments, like you can think of the World Cup. If you want your brand to show during advertisements or online or in any way be connected to a big movement like that, you need to become a sponsor or you need to have a license to do so. So I think all in all, the media reports, informed recently that the recording companies were approaching organizations. I can tell you now, the organizations are less surprised than members of the public about it. I think it's just a bit of a misconception. And we really need to, I think there's a big opportunity for corporates, and also for companies to be more responsible and to make sure that whenever they make use of recorded music, that they make sure that they've got the right licenses in place, because those license fees make their way back to the artists. And during a time of the pandemic, where artists like Master KG and Nomcebo were unable to perform at all because of social distancing, etc., it's even more important for them to receive their license fees from legitimate commercial usages that were made. So I think the perception after the news reports might have been in the general public that the artists are going after everybody who made use of it. That's not the case. It's only those who aligned their brands and who used the opportunity, who tried to tap into this whole massive global interest in the matter by aligning their brands with it and extracting commercial value from that.
So, Stephen, in either extreme, in other words, if I am if I'm a brand, if I'm Coca-Cola or I'm an airline, it's very clear that if I do this, if I create this, I'm trying to align my brand with it. On the flip side, on the other extreme, you've got healthcare workers and police who are just using it for togetherness. Those examples are simple, but there are a lot of areas where it does become a little bit confusing. And I think one of them that you've mentioned is the healthcare workers outside a very well-known hospital. There are areas where it might be difficult or, a challenge for the hospital to say, well, hold on a minute, do we need to approach the artist to do that, or is this just for our healthcare workers?
Yes, Howard, absolutely. So each situation will be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And in some instances, there won't probably be a license required at all. But I think companies and organizations need to be aware, as soon as you expose your brand and you align your corporate identity, because like I mentioned, you can have your healthcare workers dressed up in their, let's say, so that they're clearly visible as healthcare workers dancing to the tune, right? But the moment you say these are the healthcare workers of this particular hospital. You're sort of sending out a message to say that we are more organized than the rest. We care more than the rest. When you have a problem, rather come to us than to one of our competitors, because hospitals are also, in a way, competitive.
Absolutely,
so whenever you decide that you want to extract value. So as soon as you decide that you want to align your corporate brand with it, you need to at least approach the rights holder. Who knows? Maybe the rights holder says, you know what? I'm with you guys.
For that
you
don't hospital, need to do it for free. Stephen, I unfortunately do need to cut you right there. We are almost out of time. It's about to go heading towards the top of the hour. Fascinating conversation, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak to us about it. That's Stephen Hollis, partner and trademark attorney at Adams & Adams, talking about the Jerusalem Challenge.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.